This is Arnold from KOWS in California.
Hey!
How are you doing?
I am doing great. Beautiful sunny day here in northern Minnesota.
a bit of a change from how it has been of late.
Yeah. This week's been nice. We've had a couple days over 30 degrees, so we're okay with that.
Oh my goodness. Well, I better not tell you that it's about 70 degrees here today, so plus 70 degrees.
Yeah, not negative.
No.
I know we had a friend who's got a son who's in Mexico right now, and he was disappointed because it was 40 degrees in Duluth the other last week. He said, well, I'm gone. It's supposed to be really cold. Not too bad, though. We're hanging out.
You guys in embarrassed Minnesota, you seem to take it on the chin nearly every day when I read my weather report in the morning. There in the lowest reporting is embarrassed Minnesota.
So. Quite often you're going to see that name there, yes.
Indeed. Well, we're speaking with Diane Nelmark and who is the town clerk of embarrassed Minnesota. And where is Embarrass?
Embarrass is about 30 miles from the Canadian border.
Oh, okay.
We're northwest of Duluth, about an hour and a half, and about an hour and a half from International Falls. So almost as far north as you can get.
One of the reasons then why it gets so cold, the further north, the colder it gets.
Correct. The further north, and then also we live it's a low-lying area. The Laurentian Divide runs just a few miles south of here, and a lot of the warm air, if there's any in this area, kind of stops there when the cold settles down in our area. Between my house and where the actual recorded temperature is, it can vary 10 degrees, and that's only about 5 miles. So.
Wow, you mentioned the Laurentian Divide. That's
correct.
That's a great name. What is that?
The Laurentian Divide is, I guess, for Minnesota topography, it'd be the mountainous area that runs from, it's along the mining areas. It's the hilly areas where a lot of the mines are underneath it. And there's a correct description of what it is, but it's what we call the mountains here. My kids think it's the mountains until we went to Washington a few years ago. So.
Gulp, yeah. So the topography, it's fairly low then. Are you near lakes and those type of things?
There's a lot of lakes around here, a lot of really large lakes in northern Minnesota. Of course, we're not too far from Lake Superior, but Lake Vermilion is one big popular area that a lot of people from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, Chicago, Kansas, Nebraska, a lot of the southern states or just south of us come up for a lot of fishing in the summertime. Sometimes we get a few that, you know, they're brave it and come up in the winter when there's ice fishing, which is pretty decent. We're also not too far from the Boundary Waters Canoe area, so it's really lakes and woods is pretty much this whole area. Not a lot of farmland, not a lot of prairie, but most, yeah, a lot of trees, lots of water.
Yes. Embarrass, no, that's a pretty interesting name. Where did it come from?
We get that question a lot. I get questions from school kids year-round. We get questions saying, we're supposed to find out weird names of towns. What it actually is, it's a French word. I don't even want to try to pronounce it, but it's a word that means to hinder, confuse, or be complicated. And when the fur traders would come up to this area of northern Minnesota, and they'd be in their canoes, and they'd be going along the rivers, there was a lot of obstacles in the river. And if you look at an overhead map, it winds back and forth for many, many miles. And it was just frustrating for them to get from one place to the other because of having to remove so many obstacles. So when they kind of named the river that because it was frustrating, and then the railroad came through, took the same name, and then in 1905, the township followed suit and named the township Embarrass.
Oh, I love
it. So nothing as fun as what people think.
Oh, that sounds a lot of fun. French fur trappers and everything. It's great.
Yeah. There was a lot. They used to come trade with the Native Americans that were up here at that time. And then the Sims kind of took over in probably the late 1800s, early 1900s, and there's a lot of Finnish heritage in this area. We have Finnish homesteads that were built in the early 1900s and late 1800s that people come and tour on a regular basis throughout the summer. We get a lot of people from Finland that come to see what's here, and it's kind of interesting for them to see what their ancestors might have done or their relatives did when they came over.
Yeah, I noticed just quickly looking at your website, there is a Nelimark Home Museum. Are there a lot of obviously Finnish surnames like yours? Is that a Finnish
name? There's a lot of Finnish surnames. a lot of them, I grew up in another Finnish area of northern Minnesota, a couple hundred miles away from here. So it helped me when I got my job because I can pronounce a lot of the names here. But there's a lot of very Finnish names, and they did a survey or in the late 80s, and they renamed a lot of the township roads. They wanted to keep them as Finnish names because of a lot of the Finnish families that were around here. There's a sauna road, which, of course, in this area, you do not pronounce it sauna. That's not a word. It doesn't exist. It is sauna road. We've got Salmola Road and Salo Road and, you know, lots of names like that. There's one of the roads they named as Palo Tia, and Palo Tia in Finn is Palo Road. But the people that were printing the signs didn't know that. So it says Palo Tia Roads. The Finns say, oh, well, that's funny. Palo Road Roads. So that's kind of a joke like that happened about that time.
Oh, I love it. So now, because of that heritage, do you have special festivals and events going on in that way?
We do have several. We have, in June, we have the Finnish American Summer Festival, and that is sponsored by Sisu Heritage, which is the local historical society, and they're the ones who maintain most of the homesteads and look for grants for funding for maintaining these and getting them rebuilt. And that festival, it's just a one-day festival. We usually have Finnish singers. A lot of people come from, we've had people from all over the United States. A couple hundred come probably on that Saturday. They have Finnish food that's served from anything from breakfast to all the way through supper. They used to have a Vesapallo game, which is Finnish baseball.
Oh.
My husband tried to play it one year and said the rules were too confusing. You have to hold the bat when you run, and the bases are in a different order, and he said it was just too much for him. They haven't had a whole lot of that, but they do a boot throwing contest. A boot throwing contest, which the story behind that is that way back in Finland many years ago, a bride and a groom were headed towards some place, and they get to a river, and they've got one pair of boots. He's wearing the boots. So he takes his boots, throws them, or walks across the river, throws them back to her so she can come across the river too. So we do a boot throwing contest just to see how far people can throw the good old big rubber boots that we wear.
Oh, big like galoshes, Wellington.
Yeah, white galoshes. Yep, okay. Exactly.
Now let's back up a minute. You said Finnish food. Can you give me some examples of
some of the examples around this area? They would say it's squeaky cheese. I don't know what the name of it is for it, but it's squeaky cheese. We also have I can't remember. There's a vegetable soup. But they have it every. They serve it every year at the festival. And where I was growing up, we used to have something similar. It would be they serve a fruit soup with it too. And here they just call it fruit soup. Where I was from, they called it ruisenaveria. I'm hoping I got it right. But that was the fruit soup. But it's like prunes and raisins and apples and maybe some cherries sometimes in it. And then the other one is just any kinds of thing. There's Finnish pola, which is bread. It's a sweet cardamom bread. That's pretty popular around here. In this last couple of years, they started a tug of war contest where they hang the piece of bread in the middle of the tug of war, and then you have to get that, and whoever wins gets the piece of bulla. So that's interesting. The other Finnish tradition that we do in December, and it's an ice candle lighting. And there should be some pictures of that on our website as well. Back in the Finnish Russian War, or after the Finnish Russian War, a lot of the Finns would place ice candles on the graves of their loved ones just in remembrance and to have a ceremony like that. So we've started as a township sponsoring that type of event here where we go and we make ice candles out of just like a 3-gallon bucket, fill it with water and let it freeze overnight because it can easily do that here. And then we place like a votive candle inside and we place it on the graves of people who, you know, want their loved ones remembered. People sponsor so many candles. This last year, I made 300 ice candles at my house, but we had about 400 displayed.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's pretty impressive to be out there, you know, at about 10 o'clock on a dark, you know, Christmassy, freezing cold night to see all that. And you just drive through and everybody turns their car headlights off so you can just see all the candles and just kind of think and remember.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you. Kind of cool.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's lovely. Now, what do people work at in Embarrass?
A lot of the people around here are in the mining industry. We have several taconite mines within about half an hour of any direction of us, iron ore mines. And then that taconite is shipped to the steel mills in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, that area. There's also quite a few that work in logging. That's getting to be less and less. There's a lot that also, there's a few small farms, not real large. There's, you know, maybe 40, 50 cattle here and there. I can probably name three or four and embarrass. In the outlying area, not too far away, there's some more farming. A lot of tourist stuff in the summertime, just because this is a huge lakes area and a tourist destination in the summer. So, but mostly mining. I would say in Embarrass, people that I know that live in Embarrass, 50% have something to do with the mining industry.
Okay, yeah, that's the here it seems to be the wine industry here and tourists.
Just change a letter here and there, you know, it's the same thing.
Right, yeah, it's true. Wine to mine, yeah. Any odd or interesting facts about Embarrass? Unusual things happen there or anything like that?
You know, I really, there's a few, I guess, landmarks that might be. We have a log building. It's called the Timber Hall, which is, when it was built in the 1980s, was the largest freestanding log building in the United States.
Wow.
A couple of the buildings on our homestead tour are pretty famous around the area and around the northern states, especially for finished log construction. They are rebuilding right now the St. Mimi House Barn, which is a house and a barn that was all in one building. And it's been done before, but this is known to be one of the only ones in Minnesota that still exists that was built by a finished carpenter. Other than that, we have, you know, there's things that happen now and again, but, you know, it's a small community in northern Minnesota, and everybody kind of keeps to themselves, and it's pretty quiet, not a whole lot of strange things happen around here that we know of.
Which is good. That's good. Who has been the most famous person to come out of Embarrass?
There's been a couple. I guess probably none that people really hear about, other than we have one gentleman who does a lot of weather recording. His name is Roland Fowler, and he's done interviews on CBS's 60 Minutes. The Weather Channel came. Jim Cantore came up here a few years ago and was talking to Roland and some other people around town. Several years ago, in the 1950s, I believe, we had a group of runners called the Flying Finns, and there was a Finnish runner. Just before that name, Paavo Nurmi, I think, in Finland, who was a really fast runner, went to the Olympics. Yes. And so they took on, the team here took on their name, the Flying Finns. And for a really tiny town, they brought, for 6 years in a row, won the regional basketball championship, started a track team, and did really, really well. So a lot of those gentlemen, people know them around town and still recognize who they are. And there's one guy who, his name is, I believe, Warner Wurta, is known as the Flying Findian because he was half Finnish, half Indian. And so he wears shirts that say that, and they've got a big presentation up here at Fortune Bay Casino, which is the local Indian reservation.
Oh, I like that, yeah. Findian.
Probably not politically correct in a lot of worlds, but, you know, that's what he calls himself, so.
Exactly. Well, that, you know, talking about sports, what do the school teams call themselves? The Red Faces?
Actually, when Embarrass had Embarrass, there's no longer a school right in Embarrass.
Okay.
The school in Embarrass closed in the early 1970s, and I believe, I don't even know. I believe they were the Embarrass Rangers.
Okay.
But then the like they said, the basketball team and the track team are known as the Flying Finns. So I don't remember exactly what they were otherwise. Right now we belong to a school district, which is a lot of St. Louis County. There's four schools within probably a 100-mile radius, and it's just a bunch of towns have combined to be in these four schools.
Does the town use the name Embarrass? You know, is there sort of some, you have fun with it, or you just sort of really ignore it because you've heard it all before?
It's just kind of an ignore. There are some people, at the last couple annual meetings we've had, some people have said we should start using it more than we have. Right now, most of the thing we hear about is for the weather. That's what we're mostly known for.
Yeah.
And but some people have said, you know, hey, we've got this great name, we should use it and promote it a little differently. So there, I know there are people out there that are looking at ways, you know, we could do that. Even if it's just a matter of, you know, say, you know, printing a T-shirt that says, I'm not embarrassed to be from Embarrass, or something to that effect, or I've been too embarrassed, but I wasn't embarrassed. You know, just they're throwing ideas out.
Exactly. No, you have to these days. You got to.
Oh, yeah. 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 We got a call from the Dr. Oz show a couple of years ago, and when he started doing most embarrassing questions segment on his show, he was asking if we would want to be part of it. And so they came and filmed part of the show here. Myself and one other person from town went over to New York and went on the show to talk about it. And so he uses it every once in a while. We see clips, and my kids, I think, are excited because they see their face on TV once in a while. So,
oh, lovely.
Somebody's using it.
Exactly. It never goes away anymore.
Yep, that's right.
Well, thank you, Diane. Diane Melmark, the town clerk of Embarrass, Minnesota.
All right. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.